You're listening to Halford and Brough.
Put it this way. If the organization doesn't have anything and they're not in good shape, there is going to be a firestorm.
Another
rain
one?
Down.
Like, how many times have we done
on
this?
On the official home of the Canucks.
I can't overstate it enough. Bringing back the team is the bare minimum. So when he says we're not going to have cap issues, does that mean just to get Petey and Hughes signed?
Sportsnet 650.
Now here's Antoine Roussel into the Montreal zone on left wing. Center pass in front. Gaudette scores. Roussel threw it into the slot. Adam Gaudette deflects it home. His fourth of the year. And the Canucks have tied the game at one.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford and Jason Brough.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01. What an early start on a Tuesday. It is Halford, it is Brough, it is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slope in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, but what do you mean by what an early start? This is when we start our
show every day. It amazes me every time.
Okay.
Remember when we used to play two intros and we'd start late? We'd be like 6:09 on a Tuesday.
How would we start late? We never started late. Right. How would that... I'm just wondering. No.
6:09 okay. is later than 6:02.
But when would that ever happen?
When would we start at 6:09?
Yeah.
When we had an earlier show on TSN 1040.
I never remember that happening.
And Ian McClatchy would play not one, but two intros.
They didn't take 9 minutes.
And we'd start late because he'd have an update.
Okay.
It would always go late.
Ah.
6:02 on a Tuesday. Okay. What an early start. I am Mike Halford. He is Jason Brough. Jason, good morning.
I already said good morning.
Dom, how are you now?
I'm good. Clearly better time management than McClatch had.
You're sharp. Very sharp. Yeah. I'm just not used to
I don't think you put as much work into the intros.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe that's
the balls to say something like that.
Well,
yeah.
Jason's coming out strong this morning.
Clearly.
He's not happy with things. Things aren't going well. No, I'm just kidding. They're going fine.
Not for the Canucks.
Oh, we want to start there? Let's start there. We've got a lot to get into on the program today. Yesterday was the trade deadline. I suppose it could be classified as surprising. When Jason and I left the air at 8:54, which is not early, it's just normal, we had nothing to chew on with the Vancouver Canucks. As a matter of fact, our poll question, Jason, was about whether the Canucks were going to make any moves whatsoever, and if they didn't, was that going to be okay? Well, our poll question was rendered moot about 15 minutes after we got off the air because the Canucks started to make a lot of moves.
And 90% of the respondents to that poll question were rendered wrong.
Right. The Canucks made a series of moves. We'll get into them in what happened in just 1 minute, but we will recap everything that happened yesterday, both with the Vancouver Canucks and across the league, and what promises to be a very busy show and a very special show, Jason, because at 8:30 today on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, one of the two newest members of the Vancouver Canucks, Matthew Highmore, is going to join us right here on the Halford and Brough Show, Sportsnet 650, former Blackhawk, new Canuck, Matthew Highmore, 8:30.
I already have some questions.
Okay.
Matthew, are you like Tyler Motte? In what ways are you like Tyler Motte? Because you have to be like Tyler Motte now.
You mentioned this on Twitter yesterday.
Well, they're clearly, this is the sales job, right?
Uh-huh.
For the Adam Gaudette.
Why don't you explain to maybe a listener or two in their cars that might not know exactly what you're talking about?
Well, I think
right
they're now. looking for younger, cheaper, high energy bottom six players.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking for guys like Tyler Motte. And when Tyler Motte was acquired a few years ago for Thomas Vanek, he played some games in the NHL and hadn't really stood out statistically.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was onto his third team when he came to Vancouver, Chicago, Columbus. And then Vancouver.
Yes, that's correct.
So even started in Chicago, like Matthew Highmore. And a lot of people were upset that the Canucks didn't get draft picks for Thomas Vanek,
mm-hmm.
who is a pending UFA, kind of your classic rental. And I think reading Twitter yesterday, a lot of people were disappointed with the return that they got for Adam Gaudette,
mm-hmm.
this kid from Chicago that, frankly, I had never heard of. And then I assume a lot of people hadn't heard of. Mm-hmm. I'd heard of Tyler Motte because he was a pretty good college player.
And a fairly high draft pick.
Yeah. And Matthew Highmore was never even drafted. He was signed as a free agent out of the Q, I believe.
Yes. St. John. The Sea Dogs.
Sea Dogs.
Yes.
So what the Canucks are hoping is that he becomes kind of this high energy, cheap, bottom six guy, and they're starting to acquire a few of them. You got Tyler Motte already, who's somewhat established. I thought Jace Hauerluck started to establish himself as the season progressed. And now they're going to hope for the same for Matthew Highmore. Now, is this me saying it's going to happen? No, it's not me saying it's going to happen. But clearly, the Canucks realize that they need to improve their bottom six. And they also realize that they can't be, well, unless Tanner Pearson ends up there, they can't be giving out a ton of money and a ton of term for these guys.
Yes.
Hence, you get Matthew Highmore for Adam Gaudette. So I want to ask Matthew Highmore, you know, what kind of player are you? And what roles are you? Where do you kill penalties? Or do you like doing that? Because again, they're going to have to turn over the penalty killing to some younger guys, some newer guys.
So Matthew Highmore at 8:30 here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. 8 o'clock, Thomas Drantz is going to join us. We will recap everything the Vancouver Canucks did on trade deadline day. As mentioned, Adam Gaudette out. He's in Chicago. Jordy Benn out. He's in Winnipeg. Madison Bowie, a defenseman that...
Bowie. I think we're going to go Bowie. Is it Bowie or Bowie?
It's Bowie.
It's Bowie. Yeah, it's Bowie.
Are we sure?
Yep.
Yeah, I worked in Kelowna while he was a Rocket.
Bowie.
It's Bowie.
Okay, Madison Bowie. Will be on... 25-year-old defenseman, has kicked around, has never really lived up to the hype or potential that he had coming into the NHL. Mm-hmm. He is now a member of the Vancouver Canucks, as is Matthew Highmore. So Drantz will talk about all of that. 6:30.
Oh, no. I'm going to have another, just to tease the Drantz conversation.
Okay.
I had a text back and forth with Drantz last night, and he's going to be cheering for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs.
Okay. And you took...
That's just okay?
No!
That's just okay?
You took...
You suck!
Yeah, that's not your best, Dom.
There's so much happening right now. I got Brough yelling at me. I got you yelling at me. Mm. So I'm assuming you took umbrage with this right away.
And he's like, it's good for the league.
Ugh.
And it's good for to show that a team with a good process is going to have success the way they play.
I'm like,
I don't care about process, Drantzer.
There's other process
I care
teams.
About the Leafs losing in the playoffs.
So we got that coming up at 8 with Drantz. We can also talk Leafs at 6:30 with Justin Bourne. And we're not going to make this too Leaf-centric. This is Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks. But would you say, I know what the answer is going to be because I read your notes, but would you say, Jason, that the Leafs were the biggest buyer at this deadline? That they were the ones that loaded up the most, that they were the ones that made the most profound changes to their roster, that they were the ones in go-for-it mode the most.
Well, yeah, they added like six guys.
Yeah.
Now, did they add the highest impact player? They're going to hope so in Foligno. Mm-hmm. But they gave up a bunch of draft picks. Now, did they give up any of their top prospects? No, they didn't. But I found it very intriguing that they picked up a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very curious to see who's going to be in goal for game one whenever the playoffs start. That game's probably going to be against Montreal, who's got Carey Price in goal. Or Jake Allen, I guess the option is. But it's going to be Carey Price for game one. It could be Frederick Anderson. It could be Jack Campbell. Or it could be David Rittich. Because there are injury concerns and health concerns with Frederick Anderson, who there were concerns about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As far as his big game ability was. And Jack Campbell has, by all accounts, been playing really well. But
he lost last night, but
also he's been playing banged up.
Yep.
And apparently David Rittich is going to start his first game for Toronto. Because they need to give Jack Campbell a rest.
Yeah.
So the goaltending in Toronto, if there's one thing that I think that team is going to get tripped up on, potentially, I think it's going to be goaltending.
So 6:30, Justin Bourne, our good buddy from Fan 590. And of course, you see him on Hockey Central. Thomas Drantz at 8. Matthew Highmore, one of the two new Canucks at 8:30. That's what's happening on the program today. Dom, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
So we'll begin with the other side. It feels weird to say this because, you know, we focused a lot about Matthew Highmore in the intro there. But the other side of the Matthew Highmore trade. What a weird way to put it. Adam Gaudette is gone. The Vancouver Canucks made a fairly significant splash on trade deadline day, sending center Adam Gaudette to Chicago for Highmore in a one-for-one deal. Gaudette, as you know, was the I've seen him referred to as the index case in the Canucks COVID outbreak. The index
case. Patient zero.
Yeah, I don't think they like using patient zero or like typhoid Mary or anything like that. I think they prefer the term index case. It's been a disappointing season for Gaudette.
COVID Adam.
Right. Like none of those nicknames they really wanted to throw out there. So we should just get right in to that part of this. I think everyone knows Gaudette's statistical profile, his draft profile, the Hobie Baker win. There was a lot of hype when he came into Vancouver. They thought that he was going to be the 3C of the future.
He was one of the guys that people would say, look how good at drafting Jim Benning is. Or Jed Brackett, as the case may be.
The last 12 months, though, have been real tough for Adam Gaudette. It basically began at the tail end of last season and then carried over into the bubble, where he was a real non-factor for the Canucks in their playoff run. And then that lack of production carried over to this regular season, where Gaudette just simply struggled to put the puck in the net. Yes, there were a lot of underlying metrics about how he may have had a lot of good quality scoring chances and that he had an unsustainably low shooting percentage. But at the end of the day, the production just simply wasn't there like it was in his sophomore season where he was pretty good. That's the player side of things, the actual hockey side of things. We may as well address the fact of him being the index player, patient zero, for the Vancouver Canucks. And there are a lot of rumblings going around. Part of the reason why the Canucks may have flipped him to Chicago is because of him being that patient zero with regards to COVID. Now, the Canucks flatly denied this in a statement made to Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's very own. We've got some audio here as to why this conversation was happening, because it was happening at a fairly high level. This is the 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman. This was released, I believe, on Thursday evening, shortly after the Canucks announced their statement. And remember, Jason, that statement did essentially say that this all began with one player. I remember my eyebrows raised when I saw that statement because it was very clear that the club wanted to make it known that this began with one particular individual who brought the virus into the club.
Well, I don't know if it was the club wanted it to be known.
They made it known.
The club just said what happened.
Right. But I don't know if that was it necessary?
Yeah. They were just telling us, they were just saying, you know, like, this is how it happened.
Okay. Whatever the case, it was very clear by the time that statement was out that we knew exactly what the details were. Here's Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick from the 31 Thoughts podcast on that situation at that time.
That Canucks statement, where they very clearly placed the blame on basically one person.
One person outside the group, it sounded like.
Yeah. What's that going to lead to? What's that going to mean?
Well, didn't that lead to the memo from the NHL on Saturday?
Yes. I am curious about that, Jeff. If basically we're saying that there's one individual is responsible for this, is there going to be any fallout there?
In what sense?
This has been such an ugly situation where some players have gone through really difficult times. Are there hard feelings among the players? Are there hard feelings among the group?
So someone turns or a couple of people turn on the one person.
Yeah,
this is the Twilight Zone. The monsters are due on Maple Street.
That's an excellent reference.
Thank you. Big Rod Serling fan.
I just think we're kind of wondering where this is all going. I think that's one of the things, like, I think it's been a big challenge for the Canucks. Obviously, you have some players who've been sick and some staff who've been sick. The league wants you to play. They had to answer some really tough questions. You talked about the memo. You know, it was pretty stern. And like I said, I heard the league ask some really tough questions.
So look, I have no doubt that there were some hard feelings among the players with Adam Gaudette. If he was the guy that brought it to the team and the up, having been in a work situation where that did happen, people talk and you're like, why would so-and-so do this? Why would he have done that, etc.? Why wasn't he more careful, etc.? But I don't think you can sit there and say that's the reason Adam Gaudette has been traded. Adam Gaudette has been in the trade rumor mill for practically the entire season. Okay? It wasn't panning out, and he wasn't panning out as far as what the Canucks wanted out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have that Jim Benning audio from yesterday? Because Jim Benning basically said we were hoping Adam Gaudette would take a step this season, and he didn't.
Right.
But it could have been the thing that just pushed it over the edge, and maybe management was thinking, all right, let's do it now.
Sure.
Let's do this trade now. Because when you think about it, there was no real reason for Chicago to do this deal right now. It's not like they need Adam Gaudette for the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
And there was no real need that Vancouver wanted this Highmore kid mm-hmm. right now. Now, what it does give them is it gives them a stretch of games where they can audition these players and see what they have and mm-hmm. see what they need to work on in the offseason. So I suppose you could say there's a slight reason there. But I think Adam Gaudette was probably going to be gone regardless. But I don't think listen, the team has said it has nothing to do with it. So anything we say beyond there is speculation. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that, first of all, the team isn't going to say, yeah, there were hard feelings. Guys were upset. Right. That's why we traded him. I hate to pull a Bertuzzi here right now, but it is what it is, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is what happened. Gaudette was not trending well with the Canucks. Then there was a very serious COVID outbreak that caused a lot of headaches for the Canucks and the players. And before the Canucks get back to action, Adam Gaudette is traded.
I do wonder if this is more indicative of the way that the organization does its business, where there's not necessarily a long-term plan in place. Like we said, they like to do things step by step. We'll take care of this, then we'll move on to this. It's like a honey to-do list on the mm-hmm. wall. It's like, we'll take care of one, and then we'll move on to the other. I mean, if the Gaudette thing had been lingering for the better part of a year with his name being in trade rumors, then you do have there's some validation to what you're saying. Like, yeah, okay, they've been working at this. And now all of a sudden they were like, why don't we just do this now? Now, that was one of the moves that happened yesterday. Another one, of course, was the Jordy Benn deal. Jordy Benn off to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for a 6th-round pick. There's not a ton of analysis that can go into this one. Just it was understood that they gave Ben an opportunity to go to a team that was going to go farther than they were this year. The Winnipeg Jets are going to be in the playoffs. Ben doesn't have to go especially far. He stays in Western Canada. And I think some people were just kind of happy with the fact that they got a deal where they got a pick in return and sort of a classic, here's a rental, mm-hmm. we'll take the pick. Wipe your hands off.
Well, more than the draft pick that they got, for me, I think it's important that with Ben going on to Winnipeg now, we're going to see Olli Juolevi a lot.
Yep.
That opens up a spot for Juolevi or maybe Rathbone to get some games for the Canucks down the stretch. Because we got a bunch of texts into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650, 650.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. This is from Tim in Vancouver. Let's be honest. The goal for the rest of the year should be to audition all these newly acquired role players and young guys for next year, while losing as many games as possible down the stretch. I don't know if the organization would agree with the latter, but yeah, they got to play a bunch of kids. They got to develop some sort of new identity for the bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if VC's a top six player in Vancouver or a bottom six player.
Middle six.
Yeah, he's a middle six guy, but Jace Howerluck, Travis Boyd. All these guys, you know who's lighting it up in the AHL is Jonah Gadjevich.
Yeah.
Does he get a look? Why not?
Well, I think
why not?
Yeah. I think that's what you do right now. And to be honest, you do need to look at the guys. Like, VC had such a limited scope of work. You need to try some things. You need to see who he can play with or maybe who he doesn't play mm-hmm. with. I think the same thing goes for Boyd, because you brought up a good point. One of the things that they liked about Highmore is that he comes in and you've got him on cost certainty at, what is it, $775,000 next year. And that's kind of the same thing with Madison Bowie, is you've got him and there's some certainty there, right? Like, next year his deal converts, mm-hmm. I believe, from a two-way to a one-way. So you've got some certainty there of a guy that is going to be there, is going to be, I hate calling it this, but cheap labor.
Yeah.
And that is what you need from your depth guys.
He was also brought on in some ways, and we talked to Drantz about this, for expansion draft purposes, because he's a guy that meets the exposure requirement.
Yeah.
That that could all prove moot if the Canucks do make a bunch of moves. And I want to talk about the expansion draft later on in the show, because I put out my list on Twitter yesterday, and most people were pretty much in agreement. They were like, yeah, that looks reasonable. Mm-hmm. But their other conclusion was, wow, some of the guys that you're protecting on this list don't need really to be protected. The Canucks better make hay before the expansion draft and get some players, go to teams that are in bad shape as far as protecting,
yeah,
and get those players. Because with all due respect to, say, Cole Lind,
yeah,
you really want to end up protecting that spot?
Exactly. You want to have that for somebody else. Say, hey, we've got
good
we've
player.
Got, we have your coveted protected spot over here. We can make a deal happen. I mean, Drance, we can talk about that at 8 o'clock with Drance as well.
Oh, for sure we will. I want to introduce, that's it from yesterday.
All the Canucks deals have been covered. Let's do the poll question because we have a lot of texts about Gaudette. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised, because before we get into the poll question real quick, so we get off the air 8:54. We're in our cars and we're driving. I'm assuming you might have been in your vehicle at the same time. What was your immediate reaction when you heard that Gaudette had been dealt for Matthew Highmore?
Well, let's take this in two parts. When I heard that Gaudette had been traded, not surprised at all. I guess the reason that we went over at the beginning of the show.
Sorry, I'll just jump in. Were you surprised because of what Benning had said, hours prior?
No.
Because
he didn't say we weren't going to do anything.
Right.
He said we may not be that busy at the deadline.
Okay, so part one done.
Okay. Part two about Matthew Highmore. I had never heard of Matthew Highmore. I didn't know who he was.
I know you didn't. I know.
Well, did you know a lot about him?
I just remembered him from the playoffs last year, because he had 3 goals in like 9 games for the Blackhawks.
Okay.
And he helped eliminate Chicago.
Or Edmonton.
Edmonton, sorry. Yeah. In that series. Because that was one that I watched with great interest last summer.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
But don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a lineup or tell you a lot about him. I just knew the name and I knew he played for Chicago.
I knew he was
a forward.
Yeah, I don't care that I didn't know who he was. Yeah. Like, I don't know every player on the roster in the NHL. And the Blackhawks haven't really been worth watching except for watching Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very obvious what the organization is doing. They're trying to reinvent the bottom six, and they're trying to do it with as little money as possible, mm-hmm. which is good, right?
Totally.
Like, That's not a bad thing.
This is something that they could have been doing a few years ago.
Yes.
Finding good.
They always seem to be a little bit behind the trend, just a little bit.
You know what we should do with our bottom six?
Yeah.
What if we didn't spend a lot of money on it? And then everyone sits around the table and nods.
What if hear me out, guys. Hear me out. What if instead of paying a lot of money for players that are only going to get worse because they're older?
Right.
What if we spent less money on some young, energetic guys that could feasibly grow into a role? And if they don't grow into a role, see you later. Easy as, it's as easy as that.
Your ideas intrigue me, and I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yes.
Poll question.
So the poll question is, how much are you worried that Adam Gaudette will develop into a good player in Chicago? A lot, a little, or not at all?
Did you vote?
Yeah, I voted a little. I was on.
I also voted a little.
But to tell you the truth, what were you closer to, a lot or not at all?
A little and not at all.
I was closer to a lot.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. 49% say a little. 36% say not at all. And 15.5% say a lot. I always did like Adam Gaudette. I thought I liked his work rate. I liked his talent, frankly.
He had good energy. He had good energy when he played.
Yeah. I think if you can get a little bit stronger. Now, I don't know how feasible that is. Normally, for a player your age, you'd be like, he's not going to get stronger. But he has had these stomach issues, and if he can figure that out, I think, put it this way, I think it was a really good bet for Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I read up, and went on a couple of like the, you know how you do the traditional search through the Chicago Blackhawks fans for their takes on Highmore, and they were totally fine parting with Highmore. Like, they didn't have anything against him. Like, he works really hard, tries really hard, good guy. But I think that they saw, in a funny way, the same thing that the Canucks saw. Like, you know what he is at this point, right? There's not going to be a ton of surprises.
Well, I remember tweeting out a couple months ago when Gaudette, like, could not buy a goal.
I said,
I just can't give up on this guy because he has a passion when he plays. And I think, okay, his shooting percentage was 6.8% this season. And I think we can all agree that he had some really great scoring opportunities that didn't, he was snake bit, right? His shooting percentage last year was 16%.
Yeah. Too high.
Well,
too high.
Let's take it at 10% then, you know, then he's got a few more goals. So maybe seven or eight goals on the season in 33 games. That's not bad.
The issue was, and I think it became...
The issue is defensively.
Right. It was like, what are you going to do when you're not scoring goals? And Gaudette didn't exactly make leaps and bounds in his defensive game. He was an offensive guy that wasn't producing offense.
Yes. And he was being put in positions to score, not necessarily through his line mates, but by the matchups that he would get. One thing we can discuss with I'm sure we'll discuss it for the time between now and the offseason is who's going to be the third line center for Vancouver? Because right now there's no solid options. There really aren't. Adam Gaudette was supposed to be the 3C of the future. And I think we realized probably even earlier in the season, we're kind of like, oh, is this going to pan out? And now that he's been traded, of course it won't. But who's going to be that 3C? That's why I've brought up, and people have disagreed with me on this, that maybe you try Pettersson, Horvat, JT Miller down the middle. Those are your 1-3 centers, and then you try and find some wingers because I think it's easier to find wingers. Third line center, that's good. A third line center that tips the balance for a team.
Sure.
You know, the Canucks should have a decent top six. They just should. The difference is going to be what is their bottom six, and the third. And when you talk about the bottom six, the third line center is probably the most important player out of all of those. When the Canucks were good, they had a third line that was one of the best checking lines in the league, and it didn't score much with Manny Malhotra on that line, but it definitely had an identity. It definitely had a purpose. So what are the Canucks going to do? The candidates for a third line center right now. Well, who are they?
We'll get into that later on in the program. We'll do that with Thomas Drantz at 8 o'clock. We'll do that throughout the hour. We got a lot of time in the 7 o'clock hour as well to do all things Canucks. Focus on this Adam Gaudette trade. Look at some of the other ones as well, Ben and Bowie. We've also got Justin Bourne coming up on the program, our good buddy from the Fan 590 in Toronto, also Hockey Central on Sportsnet. We can get into the Leafs being the biggest buyers at the deadline. Really interesting trade where the Washington Capitals acquired Anthony Mantha out of Detroit. We'll go around the league and look at all the significant moves made on trade deadline day. That is coming up next with Justin Bourne, Fan 590, Hockey Central on Sportsnet. That's coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Kane is in the building.
The situation with Fred is really not changed. I think Fred's carried a tremendous load for us over the last 4.5 seasons, and our main ambition with Fred now is obviously he played last on March 19th, and you know, with that said and with the season where it's at with about 4 weeks to go, patience and making sure that he's at 100% is the key for us. So that's really all that we're focused on at this point is making sure that we get through the stretch and give him the chance to be at absolute 100% and be ready to roll come playoff time.
Sportsnet 650, Halford Brough. That was Leafs GM Kyle Dubas yesterday in the aftermath of the trade deadline. One of the many Leafs acquisitions, acquiring backup Flames goalie Dave Riddick, leaving the Leafs with Frederik Andersen, who is paid and has previously played as the team's number one, Jack Campbell, who is currently playing like the team's number one. And then there's the Riddick scenario where he's the number three, but seems like he could be the number two. And maybe in an instance when the both guys are hurt, he's the number one. Very confusing situation at play.
Isn't Hutch still there too? I think he is.
He's also just kicking around. Yeah. There's a lot of goalies here all of a sudden. Let's go to the phone line now. Happy to have him back on the program. Our good buddy, Justin Bourne. You've heard him on Fan 590 at Toronto Hockey Central, et cetera, et cetera. What up, Bourne?
What's happening, gentlemen? How's life after the deadline?
It's fine. We spent a lot of time breaking down the Canucks side of things, but we were also very intrigued by this Leafs thing, especially in goal, because it's so painfully obvious that as deep and as loaded as this team is at so many positions, it's hard not to look at the roster and say, if they're going to fail by one thing in the playoffs, it's that thing right there, and everyone's pointing to the net. Tell us about this goaltending situation.
Also lack of heart.
Okay.
Well, the goaltending situation, everyone knows that if you have problems in net, you just get more goalies and it fixes the problem. You just put them all in at once and it eliminates any issues. Not so much, unfortunately. It's a legitimate concern. My concern, if I'm a Maple Leafs fan, is, all right, you got Freddie Anderson. Maybe he's healthy, and if he's healthy, maybe he's good. If Jack Campbell can stay healthy, maybe he's good. And same with David Rittich. Like, all of these guys might be healthy, but even when they are, there's no guarantee that any of them are going to be exceptional. So it's a really strange year where it's like, yeah, if it's not panning out for one guy, they'll put the other guy in, but you don't even know what you're getting with that guy. So I think the theory is that they should have someone. Logically, out of all of these goaltending men, not one of them should be able to do the job. The problem is in the playoffs, you don't get a very long runway to experiment and find out who's hot and who's healthy. So it certainly is an area of concern for the Leafs.
Bourne, we're having a little bit of an issue with the connection here. We're going to drop the call. Dom's going to try and pick you back up and get a better connection. So that's Justin Bourne. You hear him on Fan 590, Hockey Central with Sportsnet, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the goaltending situation is awfully interesting because I think when Freddie Anderson originally came to Toronto, that was the answer. That was the box that was ticked, right? I mean,
I think overall, from an outsider's perspective, at least, he's been quite good for them.
Right. It's just kind of gone off in these last couple of years.
Well,
where
they haven't won a first-round playoff series with them, right?
But now, it's funny. I wonder what lessons from the bubble last year teams either learned or will try and replicate in the playoffs this year, because everything's going to be condensed and it's going to be a grind. And you saw a lot of different teams having to go to a different guy. I mean, we saw it with the Vancouver Canucks, obviously, by way of injury. We saw it with Vegas as they flip-flop back and forth between Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner. We'll go back to the phone line now. Justin Bourne joins us again. Hey, man, sorry about that.
No, not your fault.
No, okay, perfect. That sounds a lot better. So we'll continue on with this goaltending situation. If you had to handicap it right now, how do you see this playing out based on what Dubas said yesterday about Freddie Anderson, what we've seen from Jack Campbell thus far this season, and then what we know about David Rittich joining aboard at the deadline?
Well, I think if there's any guarantees here, it's that the Leafs are going to execute the cap circumvention of Freddie Anderson not playing the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, Dubas took pains not to say it explicitly yesterday, but he more or less was like, yeah, you know, we want to make sure Freddie's right. We're not in any rush. And it's like, if it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it might as well be 4 weeks. So he's not going to play. Jack Campbell, I think they want to end up being the guy. Like, it's the best case scenario for the team that he takes over, goes on some sort of hot stretch, and the Leafs are able to transition from Freddie Anderson to Jack Campbell as the starter. I think that would be the best case scenario long term for them. So that's the hope, that Campbell could be the guy. Rittich is, I really feel like they owe the other two the best opportunity. So Rittich is kind of going to have to hang around, and if the door is open, steal the show. But I don't think he's going to be offered the role at any point.
Bourne, what do you think is the best way to build a bottom six in the NHL right now? Because the Canucks are changing their strategy a little bit. They've gone away from paying the veterans with term, guys like Roussel and Jay Beagle. And now I don't know if this is a strategy that they realized or a strategy that's been forced upon them by the salary cap, but now it looks like they're trying to assemble a bunch of younger, energetic, and most importantly, cheap players. Now, these players aren't big names. And you got names like Tyler Motte, who's become quite popular in Vancouver, Jace Howerluck, who's knocked around the NHL a little bit but started to show something at the end of the season. And now they've traded Adam Gaudette for Matthew Highmore, who I had never heard of. I don't know about you, but he played for Chicago. And now he's coming to Vancouver, and he's hoping to be Tyler Mott 2.0, the way things have been put out there. Now, in Toronto, it's a little bit different. There isn't the term for a lot of these players, but they are very much veterans. You've got, you know, Wayne Simmons and Jason Spezza. I know some of them, you know, Joe Thornton will play up the lineup sometimes, but let's put it this way. If the Leafs, regardless of what the Leafs do in the playoffs, they might have to rebuild their entire bottom six just because so many of those guys are unrestricted free agents.
Yeah, I think the theory goes that, you know, the elite top-end talent is really hard to acquire. And then once you do, everything else is kind of replaceable every year at the bottom of the roster. Like, when you head into free agency or you head into the trade deadline, it is not hard to find a guy who can play 12 minutes a game, you know, with energy, dump the puck in and finish their checks. That's replaceable. And so, you know, I think what you need low down the lineup, first and foremost, is cheap. I think the contracts should expire frequently, so you're not living with years of Jay Beagle or, you know, anyone to that effect. But also you need guys who can play a different role. You know, I don't think that you can have a lot of these young guys who you want to play in your top six someday start there. Like, the Leafs have really discovered, like, man, we need someone who can kill a penalty. Like, yeah. We need someone who can be put on the ice at the end of the game to protect a lead, not get us a lead. Mm-hmm. We just need some different type of players. And, you know, it's tough to find the perfect puzzle piece or find the perfect formula, but certainly you can't have – I don't think you need a bunch of, like, you know, I just think you're in Toronto. Like, Nick Robertson, a guy they want to score goals, putting him in the fourth line is not going to do you any good.
Right. I mean, it's funny. There's two things there. One, the other important part of all that is that you get a guy that knows that that's his job. Like, I am here to make less than $1 million and kill penalties.
What about being hungry to stay in the league?
Right.
Does that influence some of those young guys? Like, they're going to, hey, you know what? I think I will block this shot.
And the other thing is that what you're describing is the NBA model. That's exactly what this is you have two or three guys that make the majority of the money, and those are your talented guys. And then the bottom of your roster is a churn. For example, what the Lakers do every year. Why does Rajon Rondo end up on a contender almost every year? Because he's a veteran guy that can handle the ball. Marc Gasol going to the Lakers. That's a veteran power forward. But they'll probably have a different one next year. It might look like Marc Gasol, but it won't be Marc Gasol. There'll just be another guy that will come in and play for $2 million. And I think
Mick Gasol.
You can get his brother. He's a skinnier version of Marc Gasol. Like, you can do these sorts of things because that's what the roster construction stands for.
Yeah, no, it's really an evolution of how you look at sports. And so it gets to the conversation of, you know, do you believe that your sport is a strong link sport or a weak link sport? And this is a conversation Tyler Dello used to have when he was in the public sphere, which I always enjoyed. It was like, do you believe, like in basketball, there's no doubt about it, it's a strong link sport. If you have three of the best players in the league, your team is good. Mm-hmm. In the NHL, you can have three of the best players in the league and your team is terrible. It's very possible. Edmonton has proven it time and time again that is a thing that can happen. So, you know, you kind of have to be solid all the way through. You can't have weak links in hockey. And so finding the links that are just strong enough to not have the chain break for your team is important. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have all the best players in the league. You just can't have a line you can't put on the ice. You can't have a pair you can't put on the ice.
Right,
your whole team has to be solid all the way through. And that's why the Dallas Stars and New York Islanders played deep in the playoffs last year, is because they're pretty solid all the way through.
And the other thing to consider about this is that the added wrinkle to the NHL is that this has almost become a necessity because it's a hard cap league. Like, you don't have a luxury tax like you do in the NBA or the ability to terminate contracts like you do in the NFL. Is that this idea of building a roster is largely out of necessity because at a certain point you're like, we don't have any more money to spend. So bottom six, you're all making less than $1 million.
Yeah, and that's a unfortunate thing for a lot of players in the NHL is that it's moving more like the NBA, where, like, there's not many guys who are going to make $3.5 million in the NHL anymore. It's going to be the guys that we want to have on our team for a long time and the guys that we believe we can absolutely replace every time it's an offseason.
We're speaking to Justin Bourne here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. You, of course, can hear Justin on Fan 590 in Toronto, Hockey Central, et cetera, et cetera. I want to run through some of the teams. Now, you put out a list of your realistic post-deadline cup favorites.
Not faves, by the way. I got killed for the word faves. These are just the teams who can win the cup. Go ahead.
You had a list of 10. Okay, I'll bang through it real quick. Colorado.
Why do you hate the Oilers?
Why do you hate the Oilers?
Yeah.
Why do you?
What about the Jets? What about the Jets?
But yeah, you look, I looked at this list and I'm like, if you're going to put together a list of 10 teams that could conceivably go, this is it. So Colorado, Vegas, Toronto, Washington, New York Islanders, Pittsburgh, Boston, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida was maybe the only one.
Same way. Yeah. I can't believe I put Florida in there.
But that's fine, because if you look at the standings right now, it's hard not to put them in there. The takeaway I think a lot of people saw was, you, of all the divisions, Toronto's the only one out of the North that you see with a realistic shot of doing this.
Well, it's not that I think that Montreal can't beat Toronto in a 7-game series or Winnipeg can't beat Toronto in a 7-game series. I don't necessarily believe that Toronto can come out of or is like a lock to come out of the North. But I do believe that if Winnipeg makes it past Toronto or Montreal or whatever, and then they go up against Vegas or Colorado or any of those teams, they're cooked. They're cooked. Like, there's not a chance of beating two of those teams once they come out of the North. So if Toronto were to come out of the North, at least I could see they have the elite high-end talent to hang with those guys. If Campbell or Anderson suddenly went on a little, you know, decent run of play, I could see it. I just couldn't see it from the other Canadian teams.
Bourne, thanks a lot for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it. Great stuff, as always. Enjoy the rest of today. Enjoy the rest of the week. We will do this again probably next week.
All right, guys. Anytime. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Bourne. Appreciate it. That's Justin Bourne here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. So we had a bunch of questions we wanted to throw out to the listeners today. Mm-hmm. One of them was, what's the Canucks protected list going to look like going to the expansion draft? Who do they stand to lose? We'll circle back on that one throughout. You can text us at 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. We can also ask,
because remember, they don't have to protect Gaudette now.
Right.
Because he's not on the team.
Yeah, that's a key part of not having to protect
right.
him, is that he's no longer a member of the Canucks. We can also go over what teams are best positioned now to make a Stanley Cup run now that the deadline is done. We got to go to break real quick, but it'll be real quick, so don't change a station. Don't touch your dial. We're back with another 2 hours and 15 minutes of pure unbridled sports talk. It's right here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. On a Tuesday, Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Subway Fresh Take poll question today.
Oh, that's a dollar in the swear jar.
It's not the Subway Fresh Take poll question. It's just the poll question. I think if I do it subliminally enough,
Subway will reach out and pay for it?
Yeah. They'll just be like, I think we have a poll question at Sportsnet now.
We should send the money.
It's like when George just keeps showing up to work. It's like, I guess he works here.
Is that a Seinfeld reference?
Yeah. You just got to show up.
Oh, that's right. You guys are more of Game of Thrones, right?
I remember that, those days.
Do you remember those days?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hurt. I was like, what about the Simpsons? Nothing?
Poll question is, how concerned are you that Adam Gaudette's going to become a player in Chicago?
Good player.
And it's a lot, a little, or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted a little. Brough voted a little. But you were more closer to voting a lot, whereas I was more closer to voting not at all.
Yeah.
Results?
48% say a little. 36% say not at all, and 16% say a lot. I'll be very curious to see how he does just down the stretch with the Blackhawks. Who's he going to play with? I
haven't gone that far down the
line. My knowledge clearly of the Blackhawks roster is not what it used to be, because I didn't know who Matthew Highmore was. And by the way, I'm going to find out a little bit more about Matthew Highmore at around 8:30, because he's going to be on the Halford and Brough Show.
That's right,
on
Jason.
Sportsnet 650. So we'll ask Matthew Highmore about his journey into the NHL. He was undrafted. He was a late bloomer.
He's a Maritimer.
Is he really?
He's from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, do you know Brad Marchand, and do you hate him?
Yeah. First question.
Yeah.
A little bit off the board.
So yesterday on Twitter, when the trade deadline had kind of calmed down a little bit, I threw out my, as of right now, Canucks expansion draft protected list.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie.
Yep.
So my seven forwards were Petey, Besser, Miller, Beau, and Pearson, mm-hmm. because apparently there was some sort of an agreement to protect Pearson.
So, a nod towards Pearson.
So I think those five are obvious. Certainly the first four, Petey, mm-hmm. Besser, Miller, and Beau. But let's put Pearson in there as well. Tyler Mott, for me, was a protect, which goes to show you, I think that the Canucks are in a pretty good spot here as far as they don't have enough good players. I don't know if that's good or bad. It's good for the expansion draft. And then my seventh forward, I was between Cole Lind and Jake Virtanen. Mm-hmm. I protected Cole Lind. And a lot of that had to do with Jake's contract and the fact that Cole Lind still has, you know, we don't know what he is. And I'm always like, what's in the mystery box? Mm-hmm. So I protected Cole Lind. Mm-hmm. The defenseman is where I think there's a real opportunity. Three defensemen. Mm-hmm. They do not have to protect Quinn Hughes.
Correct.
Okay.
That one game that he played, or was it two games or one game? But anyway, when he first jumped onto the scene, that doesn't count as a professional season.
Yes.
So he's still protected.
They do not have to protect Quinn Hughes. So I went with Nate Schmidt, Tyler Myers, who, if it was me as GM, I wouldn't protect him.
Right. Just say, go ahead, Seattle, if you dare.
But I think the Canucks probably will. And then my third one was just Ulevi. They don't have to protect Rathbone. So if you look at and then goalie, obviously, Demko. Mm-hmm. So if you look at my last player among the forwards was Lind, and then you could probably say, well, Myers and Ulevi on defense, you're kind of like, man, I'm not too worried about losing those guys. Maybe some people see more in Ulevi than I do, but for me, this is just a massive opportunity for the Canucks that they need to take advantage of.
Because the end part of this equation, and remember this because it's important sometimes, I think people forget this, is you have to lose a player. I think some people forget that sometimes. Like, they think that you can escape somehow from the expansion draft and not lose something or someone. You have to lose a player. Mm-hmm. That's just the end game of this whole thing. So if you go into it acknowledging that someone from your active roster is going to be gone, then you're working with even more flexibility because you're saying, okay, that spot where maybe we would have kept this guy, even though we didn't necessarily need to, we can free it up. And we can start making moves for teams that don't necessarily want to lose a more prized asset for nothing or have too many guys in too many spots and they want to do this. We saw it in the lead up to Vegas coming into the NHL. Now, this will require the Canucks to look at this very proactively and be very active in terms of calling and looking at different permutations and machinations and what have you, because you kind of have to spell it out and look at, okay, well, if X happens, Y might happen to you. And if Y happens, Z might happen to you. It can be very complex. And I think a lot of people are saying, is that something that the Canucks are going to do? Because the alternative here is what they did when Vegas was around. It was a cut and dry operation.
Yeah. Trade Yannick Hansen. Boom.
Protect who you got to protect. See a Lucas Spezza. I did this twice in the first, but that's it. You wipe your hands of it and you're done. And to be quite honest, knowing what we know of this management group, that might be the way that they go, whether you like it or not. I think it would be an opportunity lost, but I also, given the history, you can't rule that part of it out.
We'll discuss on the other side. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
Real quick before we go, a little message for golfers out there. Weather's getting nice. Golfers, get your great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today.